Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republic, for the United States of America. We say it a lot, and we don't mean it to be trite or unimportant. It's true. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. It's a blessing to be a part of this kingdom work and to see God moves in such a mighty way. You know, we need desperately his kingdom, and we need to hear his voice and press into the place that we know what he's saying, that his glory would rest upon us. So I'm going to evoke that tonight. John's going to blow the shofar. He's going to talk about praise, and then I'm going to bring a word, and then Matt's going to bring a word, and we're going to do some prayer tonight. Father Jehovah, we come in the name of Yeshua, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. We are desperate for your presence. We're desperate for your anointing, your grace, your glory, your power, revelation, knowledge, wisdom, discernment, understanding, all the promises that you have for us. We're desperate for them. We need you to break forth in our lives. And in that, we are asking for revelation, insight, discernment, the fullness of the scope of your word to break forth within us, that we can make decrees, declarations, and petitions unto you, knowing that they shall be fulfilled. Send forth your host, the angels, to encamp round about us, to watch over us and keep us, cover us with the precious blood, and open up our eyes and ears that we can hear and know and understand your scripture as we go forth for this time period. Let your glory come, let your glory come, let your glory come. In Yeshua Jesus' name, amen. Glory. Connie and I were talking a few minutes ago, and we don't pray often enough for this, for our leaders, so I'm going to enter into that. And Connie has a word that God's given her that she's posted, and she's going to read that and pray over us in that. And then we're going to go and press in and talk about what God's saying in his word for the day. Lord, we don't on this call or often enough lift up our leaders, the men and women that you've placed over us in the Republic and in the corporate structure, knowing that, unfortunately, we have to abide by those laws because that's what's over us right now. And if we're going to function, we have to recognize those. And we need to be able to be without judgment. So, Lord, we come right now recognizing that as we go forward, we need to lift up those over us, even the wicked ones. Lord, we lift up the Congress and Senate and all those in government positions in the corporation, and more so the president, his cabinet, his vice president, all those. Lord, there are many wicked men and women in there. I ask that you move upon them. Break them down, change their hearts, or move them out of the way. Replace them with men and women who will serve you, who seek after you. And Lord, I lift up President Trump and Vice President Pence and their families, and I ask you to undergird them, that you would open up their ears to hear the gospel as they have pressed in and to know what you're saying for the season and time that we're in. That doorways that open. Lord, this country has more employment than it's had ever. More people are working again. Prosperity is coming. Doors are opening. Treaties are being made. There's hope and deliverance. One of the key things Gene and I have talked about several times is the intent to buy President Trump to let 3,000 men and women who have not committed violent crimes out of prison. I'm going to talk about that in prayer tonight. Lord, we're just lifting up. That would be James, Timothy, Turner, and many others. There's lots of political prisoners that we're unaware of. Lord, we're held in bondage in prisons. And I ask that you would open the doors in our hearts that we would be set free. Open the doors for James, Timothy, Turner, that he would be set free. For the many that have been held in bondage. Protect President Trump as you use him to help turn the nation around, as he has even called it a republic and recognized the work that's being done. Lord, bring about revelation and insight and discernment and favor in Yeshua Jesus' name. Connie has words, powerful words, and she's put names to it, and I've asked her to go get it and read it and pray it tonight. So, Connie, if you'd bring that and also pray at the end of it after you've read the scripture.
All right, this is Psalms 140. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver President Trump of the helpers you have assigned to him. O Lord, from all evil men, preserve President Trump and those assigned to him from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips, Selah. Keep President Trump and all the helpers you have assigned to him, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve President Trump and all the helpers you have assigned to him from violent men who have purposed to make their steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for and cords for President Trump and all the helpers you have assigned to him. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for President Trump and all the helpers you have assigned to him, Selah. I said to the Lord, you are our God. Hear the voice of our supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord of our strength, O God, the Lord, the strength of our salvation, you have covered our head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround us, let the evil one of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. We know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous, we, shall give thanks to your name. The upright, we, shall dwell in your presence. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, in Yeshua's name, we thank you that you give us prayers to pray, the ones that will mix the heavens up and send the angels. And we thank you for your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That was very good. I want to welcome my wife and our dear friend Esther on tonight. I'm not going to ask you to do anything at this time. I just want to welcome. Frances sits in here if you want, but she's in with Esther tonight. And we've got Esther trapped for about 3 weeks, so she'll be on the call. Got her in my house. Praying, mighty, mighty woman of God. As we go forward, we need to see what God's doing. We need to hear testimonies about what God is doing and how it's affecting lives. Now, I'm not going to call on Esther, but I'm going to use a testimony. She came to me the other day, and she was studying our calendar. And our calendar is, I believe, a mighty tool of God. It is big. You know, it's 39 pages this month. You know, it might be 45 next month. I have no idea what God's going to give me yet. I'm starting to work on it next week as we move forward. And God gave me specific scriptures. He gives me words of knowledge, prophecy from men and women around the world to include in it. And the other day, Lana Vassar had a very good word, and that word touched Esther because it was where she was, and it touched her knee. And it was talking about the attacks against, you know, the family and her, and you know, we take it as personal because we can see that the enemy is coming to stop that which Jesus is doing and bring about ungodly manifestations as God's bringing godly manifestations. And in that, we hear what God's saying because we pay attention to what the prophets are saying. And God said, you know, listen to the prophets. It's the time and season we're in. So all of you that don't have the calendar, download it or pull it up on off of the website and it, print it if you can and use it. We use it every day as part of our prayer and study guide. And every day it's a new revelation. It goes along with what God did in that time period of the year for our lives. And it's not just for back then, it's for us. You always have to look. When we're going through Bible college, we learn, look what it was saying then, look what it's saying now, what's the transition? How did God use that in our lives? And Esther was touched, it moved upon her. Well, I had lunch with Mel, and Mel's tonight is taking grandchildren and a grandson to the finals of the All-Stars Little League. And I raised my son through the Little League, and I love it. And he called me up and said, I can't be there with you because this is what's going on. I'll listen in the morning. Well, we had lunch 2 days ago. And it was to talk about business, but it was also to pray. And he says, wait, I wasn't on last week. I said, well, I know you've been doing these tournaments. He says, yeah, but I was so despondent. I was so depressed. I was so down because of what we've gone through. And he and his wife have been through plenty. Linda is one of the sweetest people I know, and she literally died. He revived her, and God pulled her back around. And we had lunch together a couple weeks ago, and then last week, Saturday, Mel and I had lunch. And it was to talk about what he was going through. I felt the need. I needed to share some things with him, and I had some interesting points to bring out. And he says, Wade, I can't tell you how much that calendar means to me. And he says, I was in total despondency Monday and Tuesday. And he said, I got the calendar back out and read the 3 days that you put in there from Lanavassar, and it shifted everything. It lifted my heart. It showed me that there was hope and gave me the courage to go on. Well, that's for each and every one of us. The Word of God does that. And prophecy does that. So be encouraged today for those of you that don't have it, because folks, I know that you're on, many of you read it, but there's more people that tie into the call after the call and play the recording than those that come on. Many people are concerned about being called on, don't want to talk, whatever. So they play the playback. And today was a very important message, and God had me put these messages in certain times. And I found it interesting that it ministered to people that I know that are near and dear to me, two of my dearest friends, who are going through totally different things, but God. And God ministered to them. And today, when we sat down to do the scriptures for the day and to read what God was saying from the prophets, and it was a word from Doug Addison out of L.A. He said, whatever comes good out of California, a lot. Try Azusa Street. Try the end-time revival for the United States. God said he birthed it there. We need to be praying for California. Yeah, it's full of fruits and nuts and crazy people in the legislative body, but at the same time, God has got mighty men and women there, and he's raising up people, and he's bringing out prophetic word. So listen to this word. He says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. My decree, says the Lord, things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. It's at Amos 9, 13 through 15. I've been working on some projects, and many of you know I do project work and technology work, and I've been working on some projects for 6 and 7 years, trying to get a breakthrough. And finally, this last couple of weeks, the doors have been swinging open, and they've been coming open fast, where things that we could never get done, all of a sudden, the doors are open, and they're open wide. The floodgates are open. The gates to the granaries are open. And literally, I'm getting phone calls right after another from just people out of the clear. Financers, new technologies. I picked up four technologies today from a phone call, and I didn't even know the man. He said, I got your word and number that I need to talk to you. And I said, Lord, is this part of it? And the Lord said, yes. Blessings are going to start happening everywhere. They will be happening so fast you will not be able to handle it. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the situation. So this is continuing of the word. As things are revealed, it will free you both physically and spiritually. For there's a new wind is coming to help you overcome the attacks that have held you back. Starting this month, it's releasing a backlog of unanswered prayer and blessings. The storehouses are being opened to prepare and align you for what is coming all the way through September. I'll be honest with you. I'm working on a project, a large project in China. And I've been praying and we get things going, but the fruition of it won't come to being until September. It'll take that long just to get all the paperwork and everything done and the process and get the project started. And I said, Lord, this is almost like a Taylor word for me today. You had me put it in this 2 weeks ago. And God is saying there's a new breakthrough in prayer. It's not just for finance. It's not just for business. It's for our families. It's for our hope. It's for our loved ones. It's for our life. It's for those that we're praying for. And God is releasing new prayer strategies. I mean, now when I pray, I have a different emphasis when I pray because I know that breakthrough is at hand because he told me breakthrough is on the way. Doors are being opened. When that word was given at the first of this month, Tammuz 1, Benjamin is coming. Benjamin had to come for the granaries to be opened. Benjamin had to come for the blessings to take place for those in Israel, the children of God. Benjamin had to come for completion of the word. And the word came out, Benjamin is coming. This is the time when the Lord is going to reveal and heal things that have been held on for so long you don't think it could ever be done. He's going to reveal hidden plans of the enemy that he has been using against you in areas of your destiny. How many of us want to go into our destiny? We need to press in prayer. We need to press in tongues. We need to worship the Lord to get to that place of breakthrough. This includes health, relationships, finances, family. The Word of God says in Ezekiel 44, they are to teach my people the difference between holy and common and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. And because of that, unholy alliances are going to have to be broken. There are people in our lives that are unhealthy to us for this season. And we think, well, we got to hold on to them. We got to keep that relationship going or keep doing what we're doing. And Gene and David, who are on the phone, and I talked about this a couple times. There's some things we're going to have to let go of. John is every night on a phone call. He can't do everything that he's doing. Jim is on the go all the time. There's many of us that are so busy, you go, how can I work something else in? Well, some things you're going to have to let go. Because God says it's unhealthy for you to overdo yourself. Many of these things that we've thought previously were, you know, they stretched our abilities before, and now we're saying, how can I add more things, Lord? And God's saying there's a complete new level of discernment that's being released from heaven. And it's going to help us distinguish what he's saying and what is from him and what's not. You're going to have to recognize and realize there's a new level of discernment that God is releasing. And he's going to speak to you. And through that, all the way through this summer and into September, Tabernacles, and Tabernacles actually begins on the 9th this year, September 9th, not the 28th or 29th, like it was before. So God is saying there's going to be a new level of discernment. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are going to be some of the most important times and seasons that we've ever experienced. So as we look forward, we looked at last year about the aligning of the planets. We looked at the fulfillment of prophecy of Revelation 12, and we said, okay, Satan is cast down, and we see the evil. We were talking about that earlier. Governor Mason was talking about it in a little town. Somebody posted a picture of Trump and how the viciousness, the sickness came out on post all over town on the internet about him and how much hatred there is. Well, they don't even know the truth. And then God is saying, I'm going to release people from prison, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. God says, set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And that's Psalm 142:7. Now, many people have had such a time of limitation, trapped in a prison of sickness and fear and doubt and frustration and anxiety and fear of failure, not being able to go on, not knowing how they're going to take the next step or how they're going to pay a bill. You got to say, I'm going to set you free from the prison of these things. And he's issuing orders from heaven. And these orders are coming to you to release you from these restraints. Some of you, it's going to take an angel to come to you to get it to you. Some are going to be able to receive it. Some of the restraints are coming from previous seasons that you've prayed for over and over and over again. You've prayed years and never could get the breakthrough. And God gave the word for the breakthrough back then, and you've been waiting, and God's saying, it's coming now. And Satan's been working overtime to try to get you to quit. And believe me, every one of us thinks about it. Anybody that says they haven't thought about quitting is not telling the truth. You have these places where you come in your life, you just want to give up. You think there's no hope. You don't think God's hearing you. You don't see how he's working. He's not healed my loved ones. He's not healed me. He's not provided for our needs. He has, but we haven't got there. Now, these are the prisons that the enemy has built a trap around for us. And this is very important. Listen plainly to this. The prisons are our past, our pain, and the poison of unforgiveness. How powerful is that? Our past, our pain, and our unforgiveness. So as God releases us from these prisons, he's going to realign us. Psalm 142:7. You know, we were at 140 a minute ago. 142:7 says, then the righteous will gather around me. You can expect a sudden shift in relationships because God is realigning people now. Now, here's something I thought that was very good. A friend of mine who loves the Lord works for the Astros. And he got one of those beautiful rings because he works for the Astros. Now, those rings, I don't know what the price was. I don't know how many thousands of dollars. It's got all the diamonds and signets and everything. It was the World Championship Astros baseball ring for them winning the World Championship. And he said this like it's a ring of authority. It's neat. He just sent me the email today. But you know what? God has given us a ring of authority. He's given us a signet ring. In the olden days, if you wanted to get something done, you had to have the ring of the king to implant in the wax that sealed something. And it was sealed with the signet ring of the king. Well, God is saying in Haggai, on that day, declares the Lord God Almighty, I will take you, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. In an encounter with the Lord, he's saying the signet rings are for those people who have been through the fire and testing. He's saying many have received new authority, and they thought they missed it. They don't even know they've got it because they haven't tested it. He's placing these rings of authority on us right now. The key to receiving that ring is the prophetic word. Go back and look at the prophetic word over your life, and you say, I don't have any over my life. You'd be surprised. You didn't write it down. You didn't take note of it or remember it. God is, and ask him, Lord, give me revelation of the areas of my life where the prophetic word has been spoken over me, and the enemy's been holding it back. And God is saying, you'll need to listen with new discernment because I'm speaking mightily and breaking unholy alliances and repositioning you to be able to move forward to the next level. In Ian Clayton's books, Order of Melchizedek, The Realms of the Kingdom, 1 and 2, he talks about it in several different instances. Now, we keep wanting to call the kingdom of God down, and I do it all the time, to call the kingdom of God here on earth. God said it's already on earth. He says, but you're walking in such a light area of the kingdom. It's called kingdom light. Okay? It's not where he wants us to be. He's saying, if you want the brightness of the kingdom, come up here. Come up in your private place. Come up in your secret place. Come and pray and praise and join others in doing so and press into the next level of the kingdom. He says, the kingdom's up here. I've been waiting for you. I've been inviting you to come up. I've got robes for you of righteousness. I've got new garments of praise. The angels are ready to change those garments on my behalf and your behalf. Come up to where I am that you can press through in such a way and a level that literally, you'll be changed in a moment, and you'll be able to grab hold of my promises for you and the blessings that I have for you. So every day, there's a word in this prayer guide. There's a letter of encouragement. There's a word about what's going on. There's lots of scripture. Pray it and ask God to reveal it to you. Ask him to show you what is it that you're saying. Later on, I'll be bringing the word from Edie Bauer, who lives in Houston. She's a prophetess. So I brought this as just an encouraging word. It's not even what I was going to teach. I got the spirit of preach on me, and things got going because I told John I was going to use him next. But God is saying to me, you know, you need to let the word come forth in your life that he would be glorified, and you come up higher to him. You're waiting on him. He's waiting on you. He says, come visit me. Come ask to be in my presence. Come into my courts. Come into the gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise, that I can give you the robes of righteousness, the garments of praise, the signet ring of my authority, which I have given to you, that you would rule and reign in righteousness for my glory. Matt taught us something 2 weeks ago that really just shook foundations because I hadn't heard it. He taught us about forgiveness in some areas. And today he's going to bring that in. But before that, John's going to teach us and bring us a song and talk about praise. And then I'm going to bring a little bit more with Matt or after Matt, because God is saying, I want you to hear my voice. I want to give you that which I have for you, which is all authority, all power, all glory over the enemy's works in your life. Now, am I there yet? No. If I was there yet, I'd be walking in perfect healing. I'd be so wealthy, I'd be giving it away in truckloads. And his glory is to walk down the street, people would pass out. I'm not there. I'm trying to get there. I want to go higher. I want his glory to come. I want the finances to come to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, make rich the poor. I want to preach the gospel and heal the sick, including myself. I want to proclaim the kingdom to every living being that will listen to it. What is our call? It's to do these things. What's it going to take? The authority, the robes, the armor, the word, prayer, praise. It's going to take it all. And it's going to take praying together and coming in levels of agreement. So John is going to bring a word. He's going to bring a song. He's going to bring a praise. Let it permeate your soul that you go up higher. Go up where the Lord is. Quit trying to drag him down in this mess. He's already here in the Holy Spirit. His kingdom's here. Go up into the kingdom to a higher level and let his glory shine through you. John?
Well, thank you and good evening, everybody. Listening to all the words already tonight, it's just like, I have to adjust what I'm going to do. But what else is new? The Spirit's moving in Wade's household and ours and everybody that's on the call. What touched me, I guess, is kind of what we were talking about during the pre-call, just all the evil that is out there. Most of it you can sense just because you can see it, because I think the Spirit gives us those eyes to see those kinds of things. And especially us that do lots of study, we are in tune to that. So I just want to open up my piece with prayer tonight. I've got a powerful song about joy to bring to you as well for our praise time. But I just want to lift prayer up to the Lord first. Father Jehovah, just want to thank you for giving us this time and just how you touched and opened me up with what we were talking about before we actually started our call tonight. All the evil that is out there, it just seems like it's the dark side is continuing to get darker and darker. But I look at the side of light, the side that we're on, and the light seems to be not seems to be, it is getting brighter and brighter all the time. And we know that your kingdom is here, your kingdom is in us, and that we are all a part of that because we're your children, and your children are part of you, a part of the kingdom, a part of your family. And we're just sons and daughters, just basking in what you have for us on this earth and looking for the good that you presented to us and everything that you bring to us. And in that, we know that you're protecting us, and the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in the green meadow. He leads me beside the peaceful streams, and he renews my strength, and he guides me along the right paths and brings honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkness of the valley, I'll be not afraid, for you're right beside me. You're leading me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me with anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessings. And surely in goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll live in your house, O Lord, forever. And this is what we're striving for, Lord, is just being with you forever. And we just thank you and praise you tonight as we continue to strive to get to that point. And as Wade prayed, I want to pray as well to protect the leadership, President Trump and Vice President Pence and his cabinet and all the people that support him, that keep them on the path that you want them to follow, that you want them to be a part of. And we know that you're leading them, just because we can see changes, radical changes in this country and what is going on. We just thank you for that, because, again, it is showing us your light and your kingdom. And we just thank you for that. And we want to especially thank you for Jesus as well, as he is the only way that we can have this time to communicate directly with you and to be in your family. And we just thank you for Jesus. And it's in Jesus that I pray. Amen. What I'm going to do continuing is just, I've got just lots of scriptures tonight that kind of focus in on joy. I was listening to the radio, and most of you know my ears are real tuned to music. And I heard a song, the very end of it, for about 20 seconds. I thought, there's the song for this week. I didn't even know what it was all about until I, bought it and downloaded it and started listening to the whole thing. And I was even more convinced that I needed to use that this evening. But I'm going to start out with some basic scriptures that's going to reinforce the particular song that I'm going to use tonight. And I'm going to start out with Nehemiah in chapter 8. It says, go and celebrate a feast of rich food and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is the sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. First Samuel says, when all the Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord coming into the camp, they shouted with joy, and it was so loud that the ground shook. Also in Samuel, David and all the people of Israel brought the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of ram's horn. And, of course, in the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Tabernacle of David, and that's kind of a key piece to this as well tonight. Psalms 19:8 says, the commandments of the Lord are right and bring joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear in giving insight for the living. Also in Psalms, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Isaiah says, but the people of God will sing a song of joy like the songs of holy festivals. You'll be filled with joy, and when the flutist leads the group of pilgrims to Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord and the rock of Israel. Let's see, that was a different one. Here's another verse out of Isaiah. Sing, O heavens, to the Lord, has done this wondrous thing. Shout for joy, O depths of the earth. Break into song, O mountains and forest and every tree. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and he has glorified Israel. Now going to the New Testament, Luke says, at the same time, Jesus was filled with joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, for the revealing of them is like a childlike setting. Yes, Father, it pleases you to do things this way. Romans 4 says, yes, what joy for those who receive the Lord is cleared of sin. There is no record of sin left. And finally, Philippians says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. And this song, it's from a group called King and Country, and it's just simply called Joy Tonight. Enjoy this.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops, feels like it's never gonna. Gotta get that fire back in my phone.
Let it move.
my heart to stay.
Well, I know that being around grandkids, that has been a couple of days or so, it's pretty easy for you to see the joy that the little ones have. As we seem to get older, as the song says, things kind of diminish. We need to get back to the point where we're like little children, just easily being able to have joy. And that's what we're all working towards. So anyway, with that, I'll go ahead and yield to back to the Wade, or if Matt's going to take over, I'll go ahead and yield to whatever is going to be happening next.
All right. Thank you. Powerful. You know, John, I had my little grandson over. He's 19 months now. And what you just said reminded me. He's just getting to the point where he's really being expressive. And he was running around our island in the kitchen. And he was running and laughing. We're sitting there going, well, what are you doing? And he'd stop and look at us, and then he'd take off again, and then my daughter would go after him, and then the dog would go after her, and then grandma would go after that, and then I was looking at, I couldn't run, but you sit there, and the joy that they have, just the laughter just from running. What a joy it is when God sees his children loving and enjoying him. Matt's got a powerful word. Listen to it. Let it sink into what God is saying in your life as we go forward. Matt Freezer.
Thanks, Wade. You know, yesterday I had the privilege of watching a father and mother with a young child, probably a year and a half. And this little child, they had a little kiddie pool that was only a foot deep. And they took this little child and they put him in the water, and you're right, there's something about the joy, the innocence, and I think that's one of the things the Lord's really waking us up to. I want to start out by reading the scripture out of Romans 11 and really ask the question, did God really push aside and reject his people? And he says, absolutely not. Paul speaking, who was a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin, God didn't reject his chosen people at all. And he talks about hearing Elijah's testimony and how he prayed in this time. He talked about the prophets being murdered. They were demolished, you know, except for him. He was left alone. They ripped down the altars, and there was only one left, and they wanted to kill him. And I thought about that. I thought, boy, we've all felt that pressure and that sting. And in this day, in this time, we can see a compression of the kingdom coming to bear on the earth. And that's why we're seeing such hatred. We're seeing things coming to bear on the earth. And many of us have been to that point in our lives. You know, Wade has been at that door several times, only to be resurrected and restored, because God's plan is much bigger. The verse goes on and talks about the revelation of God, and he says, you are not alone, for he has preserved a remnant for himself, 7,000 and others who are faithful and refuse to worship Baal. It's an example of what God is doing in the age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. And since it is by God's grace, it can only be a matter of what he's doing, not good works. It's a gift. It's something we need to rest and we need to step into. In verse 7, it says, Israel failed to achieve what it had strived for, but the divinely chosen remnant receives it by grace, while the rest were hardened and unable to receive the truth. Just as it was written, God granted them a spirit of deep slumber. He closed their eyes to the truth and prevented their ears from hearing it to this very day. Another translation says God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. And when I read that, it's so true of what we're seeing today. It seems everywhere you look, there's a stark comparison of the kingdom of love and the kingdom of self. The reality is, it's the Babylonian spirit versus the spirit of truth, the word. Chuck Pierce had a word And he basically said, the kingdom clash is upon you. Do not resist the head-on collision. There's a kingdom clash that is upon you, and you are in the midst of it. You are seeing, feeling, and called to embrace the kingdom clash. I'm causing the kingdoms to realign. Without you, there can be no realignment. The kingdom is within you. Therefore, you are vital in this realignment that is occurring. Do not resist the clash. Allow the kingdom within you to rise up and realign the earth around you. Do not shrink back. Do not shrink back. Do not shrink back. He says three times. Now that's a word right there when the Lord gives you something three times. It's a time when we see the enemy, we see all the hatred, we see things rising up because of this compression. It's a time when we need to press even harder into the Lord. We need to step into and step up. We can't shrink back. The reality is the kingdom has come to earth. It's overshadowing even more than ever. Many have not walked in this reality because the clash has never come into their lives. This is the hour of the clash that will demonstrate and reveal the reality of his kingdom. This is a reality of heaven around you. Some things you may have never seen before. The revelation is coming. Even as Ian Clayton says, heaven is as close as the air you breathe. We must enter into this. We must allow the Lord to enter into areas we've never allowed him into before. Romans 11 talks about that example of the age of fulfillment. For God's grace and power is his chosen remnant. That's us. This is the time of the rising of his sons and daughters to be kings and priests. You know, it's no wonder there's so much turbulence. As this kingdoms compress, then those will be called. That is that light that is coming in. Last week we talked about the Yod, that full supply of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the seven spirits resting. That is what's coming in. That's what he's calling us into. Yeshua said it in John 14 when he said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. At least believe the evidence of the works. It wasn't based on an in and out flow. It was something that he manifested. I love that passage because he says, you should believe me just because of the light of who I am. Yet that generation was always looking for signs and wonders and miracles. How many times did he say that he would give them none? Because that's all they wanted. It's the same today. But it's the light, it's the true light that he wants to manifest in each of us. It's a coexistence. It says we are co-laborers with him. That is what he's calling us to do. That is that light, that great joy, as John just talked about. It's the fullness of that coming in. It's that relationship fully manifesting. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about being co-laborers. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise master builder, but somebody else is building on it. Each one must be careful how he builds. It's humbling to think about the wise master builder. His plans are much larger, much higher, but yet he has a plan. He has a blueprint for each one of us, and each one of our blueprints is different. A specific role that he has for each one of us to step into, and the time is now. Most of the time when we look through our own human eyes, we cannot clearly grasp what that is. We must step in and up into his heart, his perfect will. It's there his mysteries are revealed. It's there we see his timing. You know, the shifting we see in the governments and the leaders of this earth are actually byproducts of what's happening in the spiritual realm, the things that are being done. And we have a role in that. Even in Romans 11, he says about the mystery, brothers and sisters, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Some have experienced hardening until the full number of Gentiles has come in. We always look at Israel as that, but it's all of us. All of us are being called to be saved and to be, step into that role. You know, the gospel has been delivered for 2,000 years, but there's something greater in this gospel that we haven't even unlocked yet. It's more than just a gift of salvation. It's a gift of perfection, a gift of stepping into Him. It's a gift of obedience to allowing His perfect will and transition and transformation inside of us so that we can reflect that image. You know, back in 2014, I had the privilege of visiting Israel and Jerusalem, and it's a life changer. Anytime you get a chance to go there and walk those grounds, and there's so many powerful moves. Everywhere you walk on that earth, there's something that happened, it seems. One of the images that sticks out to me is taking a tour of the Western Wall Tunnel. It's amazing. We all have pictures of that Western Wall. We have a picture of Trump that was, he was there recently. But beyond that Western Wall, where you see them praying, they tunneled down below that, all the way down to the bedrock. And they went all the way down to the other side of the Temple Mount to where the Antonio Fortress was. And it comes back up, and there's a well there. It's an amazing thing to go down in there and see the bedrock. And these stones that are down there are resting on the bedrock. There's some large, very large stones there. The biggest stone of the Western Wall is called the Western Stone. It is revealed within the tunnel and ranks as one of the heaviest objects ever lifted by human beings without powered machinery. The stone has a length of 45 feet. It's almost 10 feet high and a width of 11 feet. Estimated weight of 570 tons. That's amazing. And these stones were cut so precisely down there that you can't fit a credit card between the joints. It's just awesome to go down there and see that. There's another mystery waiting to be revealed right there. Anyway, about midway through this tunnel, as you go down into this tunnel, there's a spot where the Jews believe is directly under and in line with the original temple, believed to be the nearest spot to the Holy of Holies. It is in this little spot down there, underground, that women gather to pray each day for hours. This spot may be all of 10 feet, but these women come down for hours and hours, just facing this spot, which faces this wall, because underneath of that Temple Mount is where they believe the original temple was. And I say that just so we can look and think about these women from a different vantage point. And that's really what it is. He wants us to see things from His vantage point. These women are amazing. They're just so dedicated. And their vantage point and their desire is to be so close to the Holy of Holies. Is that not what we should have as well? You know, as we came up out of that tunnel, I was fortunate enough to travel with probably 8 to 10 pastors from around the country on that trip. And we came up out of the tunnel and we came up towards the Western Wall. And there were some Orthodox men there praying and just chanting. And they were totally into the prayer. And as I looked, one of the pastors just shook his head and as he observed the ritual prayers. And it just struck me. And I thought, we're all guilty of seeing it through our own glasses and not His. All of us need to awake from our spirit of stupor with eyes that can see and ears that can hear. The Lord has really been chiseling that into my heart over the last few weeks. And the same scripture keeps coming up, which is Ephesians 5:13, where everything is exposed by light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That shining is not only on, it is in. It is his true love and his true heart that manifests deep within us when we allow him to do that. It's really that kingdom reality that he wants to birth in each of us. As Luke 17 says, the kingdom is within us. It's in our hearts and it's surrounding us. It's everywhere. Just like those women who traveled below ground each week to seek, to get as close as they humanly possible to where they believe the Shekinah glory of God existed. We all have to come to that place of revelation, to the center of his realm. Last week we talked about the yod, that dot, that point. It represents the Creator, the single point from which all creation emerges, that unity. It's the foundation of all foundations, that hidden divine spark which causes everything to be. That single point. It's the point and the foundation where the wise master builder has already laid the foundation. But it's there, his unfolding plans are there for us to get a hold of. There's something that has we've never seen before that he wants to reveal to us. And there are plans that he wants to unveil to the face of the earth. So as this day, 2,000 years since our blessed Lord and Savior rose to be seated in the heavens, here we are together seeking that divine spark. Just as Chuck Pierce said, I am causing kingdoms to realign, and without you, there can be no realignment. That kingdom is within you and me. That is the alignment. We must reach that center. It's there that we hear his thoughts. It's there we hear his intentions. It's there we become one, united in him. It's all about that oneness. You know, if you read Isaiah 11, it talks about the seven spirits of God. And just as Yeshua came up out of the water, all the fullness of him and the fullness of the Father and the spirits all dwelled within him. Ian Clayton says this about the seven spirits. He said, red, the spirit of the Lord mandates us for position. Yellow, the spirit of understanding authorizes us for position. Violet, the spirit of fear of the Lord brings us into accountability for position. Green, the spirit of counsel prepares us for position. Orange, the spirit of wisdom equips us for position. Indigo, the spirit of knowledge empowers us for position. And blue, the spirit of might reveals us for position. It is that fullness that he wants to unleash in each of us. It's all there. And as this comes and continues to press in to this earth, more and more opportunities for each of us are going to be there. The doors are there. The doors are open. On Saturday, I was seeking the Father. I just wanted to know what it is he wanted me to deliver for this message. Because recently I've been seeing so many people close to me have been battling the opposition forces working overtime to bring distraction and destruction. It's the same that's taking place in this nation, which is really a reflection of that larger battle that's taking place in the spiritual realm. It's just a larger precursor of the great shifts the Lord is unleashing on this earth. That's what the Father told me. It is a positional battle. It's an alignment. And those who are still tethered to this earthly position are subject to those storms of that battle. What is it that Goliath said? Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. It's the same today. These people are screaming each and every day with hatred and slander. Why? Because they want you to step onto that battlefield and they want you to fight on their terms. We can continue to fight that way. We can continue to fight the good fight. And along the way, we will have victories, but we'll continue to take our lumps because the enemy wants us on his ground. And as the spirit of stupor is being lifted off our eyes, we'll be open to see and our ears will be able to hear. But there will always be many Goliaths just standing there willing to take and knock you down. There's something more the Lord is doing. The Spirit speaks of what God is doing in the age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. Just as David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied." Now that is a heavenly position. That is someone who did not look at the earthly battle and overwhelming odds and get sucked into that, because his position was already from a heavenly height and authority and alignment. That is the thing the Lord is really pushing all of us in to understand, to grab a hold of, and to step into. That spirit of stupor is being lifted. We've reached the age of enlightenment, and many are entering into their appointed position. The question is, where are you? Will you be in the field still toting your armor, or will you be on the high ground with the King of Kings? It's no coincidence that we are experiencing such a shift in the violent and verbal attacks. It's coming from all sides, the right, left, middle, everywhere. And we have to be very intentional not to be sucked into that. The Lord is shining a light on everything for all to see. That's really what's happening in this time. Everything that used to be gray is now being shown for its identity. The interesting thing for all of us is if we really allow that light to penetrate, we will see things in the most intimate places within us that he's trying to deal with as well. It's a revelation of waking up, removing the stupor. And as we see this take place over the coming months and years, it's going to be an amazing move of God. We talk about it all the time. Again, it coincides with the great harvest. As this presses in and many are being angered, it's because they're not seizing the opportunity, yet they are our brothers and sisters. It comes from a place of rest. It comes from a place of revelation. And we're going to have many opportunities for those brothers and sisters to pray for them, to intercede for them. There's a time to war and there's a time for the Lord to come in and just transform those. That's all based on what he wants to do. It's his will, his plan, his purposes. And that's where the spiritual discernment comes in. But it all comes from him. David understood that. And that is the hour we're in. So as I close this up, I really wanted to read something out of Psalm 23, which John read already, but this particular part is out of the Passion Translation. It's out of Psalms 23:5. It says, "You've become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit, and you give me all I can drink until my heart overflows." I just love that. Now that is not getting sucked into the battle down here. That's somebody who is in the Lord's presence. The Lord has prepared that table for us to sit at in the presence of all those who oppose his kingdom. We have a choice to make, and that's what the kingdom coming to earth is all about. He offers us a resting place in his luxurious love. That's the invitation for us in this time and season. That is the stupor that he wants to lift. He wants people to see who he is, who he really is. Lord, we just love you. We honor you above all. We want to thank you for what you're doing in this time and season. Lord, there is no greater love that you've already demonstrated for each of us. Lord, let us focus on you above all. Let us learn that delicious feast. Let us learn to sit at your table, to step up into your presence, and to be anointed with the fragrance of you, the Holy Spirit. Let our cups be full, Lord, so that when others see us, they see you. They see the manifestation of your kingdom to bear. And your presence will just overflow. Lord, that is what you're pouring out in this season. That is what's going to transform. That's what's going to start the whole awakening in the harvest, Lord. Just like you demonstrated your kingdom, Lord, it wasn't all about the miracles and everything. It was about your relationship with the Father and being one. Your prayer in John 17 is all about that relationship, Lord, that we would be one in you, in him, one together. So, Lord, I just pray for a spirit of unity in all on this call and all those in leadership, Lord, that you would use them to point to you. You're shifting things in a mighty way, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this country and around the world right now. We just pray for our brothers and sisters that are out there giving their all for your kingdom, Lord. And we want to honor you with all we have. And we just praise you to your glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to take communion tonight, but I want to do it after I get a couple people to pray. So often, Gene, I call upon you as the last person to pray, but I'm going to call on you, and then I want to call on Governor Mason. Gene, whatever the Lord's spoken to you, would you lift it up in prayer for tonight?
My heart this evening is just desire a greater pouring out of Holy Spirit. I believe Holy Spirit has already begun to pour out in America and in the world. That promised latter rain. And I believe that because the filthy deeds done in darkness have been exposed and at an accelerated rate. But I yearn for a greater outpouring. I yearn for the lost to be saved. I'm going to turn this into a prayer. I yearn for a greater acceleration of the separating of the tares from the wheat. I yearn for righteousness to be on this land again. So, Father, as I continue to speak, let my words be a prayer before you in Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the pouring out of your Spirit in these days. The days are evil, but your light is growing brighter, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the hope that we have ahead. Because evil will not triumph in the end. We thank you for the prophetic destiny of America and the national purpose. Father, I pray for the end of the violation of the children and the babies. You say in your word that the sins of the fathers are judged to the third and fourth generation. And we see a count here, Father, that the sins of our forefathers began with the scourge of civil war. And the baby boomer generation is the fourth generation. And we see your redeeming hand, that you are keeping covenant of the Declaration of Independence. Even when all of mankind is not, and we have that hope, and we know that the nations of the world look to America, because how it goes in America is how it goes in the rest of the world. And we hunger for righteousness in the world. We hunger for your light in the world. Thank you for the awakening that you have brought to this land and in the world. I thank you for those that stand for righteousness. Lord, we ask that your spirit would come through and clean up, that there would again be virtue. Lord, that marketers would quit selling sex and things that are repugnant to you, and that we would come to know holiness. Lord, I ask that those that call themselves by your name would be brought to their knees, those that aren't there yet. I thank you for those that do pray. I thank you for those that do intercede with spiritual warfare. And I bless you and I praise you because of them. Lord, those that play church, I ask for a great shaking. You say in your word that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And Lord, I know that you've begun that. But I ask for a further house cleaning. I ask for a greater shaking, Father God, that all that is good would unite, and all that is evil would either repent and come to salvation in your kingdom, or they would be separated out. I plead the blood of Jesus on our babies, on the innocent. I ask, Father God, that you would once again be known on this land and that your name would be reverenced. I ask, Father God, that everything that was part of the origination of this nation, which was based on your law, which was based on a covenant with you, which was based on everything that was good, so that people that are born again and have holy hearts would come to know the true Christian liberty that comes from your word. I ask, Father God, that you would open up a way where the people would gain knowledge through education, and that the revised textbooks would be thrown out and burned, that we would once again have truthful knowledge, so that we would not perish. You say in your word that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And in that scripture you say that because the people don't want the knowledge, that you will destroy their children. And we're there. And I repent for this nation, Father. And I repent on behalf of the rest of the nations of the world. I am ashamed for my nation and having become so immoral. But I rejoice because I see your hand moving and we have great hope. And once again, there will be a city upon a hill and a light to the nations, that they will come to know the law of the Lord. And your kingdom will grow. And we will be ready for the return of the King. And that is my heart's cry this evening, Father. I pray for justice on the land. I pray for liberty for the children and for all of those that have been taken captive and violated. And I ask, Lord, that your name would be on the lips of the people. Because I don't think there's a better prayer than to hear your name. And again, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Governor Mason, is there a word or a prayer that God's putting in your heart?
I have several prayers I'd like to speak.
Absolutely.
Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, Father, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O blessed Lord, who called me into thy church, help me to worship thee heartily, joining in all thy service. Keep me from vain and wandering thoughts, that I may concentrate my mind on thy message of pardon, duty, and love, for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the wrongs, the things that I have done, and for all the things I have left undone because they wound thee. Forgive me and help me to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Lord Yeshua, help me to appreciate and use all thy gifts to me, especially my church, the sacraments, Sunday, Bible, opportunities for helping others, and giving money to spend to spread thy kingdom. O Savior of the world, who by thy cross and precious blood hast redeemed me, save me, and help me, I humbly beseech thee, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for all the officers of the Republic, these servants that you have brought together to fulfill your kingdom here on earth. I thank you for all the individuals that come together weekly on this call for Pastor Wade. I pray and thank you for his excellent health and furthering his health and making him recover better from from his illnesses. And I thank you for John. And I thank you for Miss Jean, who is a powerful prayer warrior, excuse me, in her own right. And I thank you for everyone else that is on this call, for Matt and for everyone else. And I thank you for the signs and wonders that you perpetrate on this planet on a regular basis. And I thank you that I'm able to see these things. I thank you for the ability to continue to walk in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Dean, you heard me chuckle a moment ago. You'll understand why in just a moment. I want to do communion tonight. We take communion a lot, and we take it every time we come together in his name. And it's to seal the promise of the word, the prayers, the hope of where we are, who we are in him, to fellowship with him. So if you have your communion elements, I want you to take them now and lift them up before the Lord. Father, we come in Yeshua's name to give you thanks that you are the bread of life. You are our hope. And Lord, I want to lift up your name. I'm going to lift it up, Lord God, through Scripture. You are our Father, and I'm the Father in Galatians. You are the balm of Gilead in Jeremiah. You are our comforter in 2 Corinthians. You are our deliverer in Psalms 18. You are our everlasting God in Isaiah. You're the Father of mercy in 2 Corinthians. You are our good shepherd, John 10. You're the Holy One, Lord God, in Proverbs 9. You're our intercessor in Hebrews. You're the judge and of the living and the dead in 1 Peter. You're our King Eternal. You're the light of Revelation. You're the man of sorrows, our never-failing one. You are our offering for sin and the potter who breaks down the clay to powder and brings it back and creates new vessels. You're our quieting love in Zechariah. You are the righteousness of God, Lord God. You are our sanctification and our teacher. You're the upholder of all things. You're our very present help. You are the way, the truth, and the light. You are the exalted one and the glory and the lifter of our heads. Lord, we are zealous for your names. We are zealous for who you are. You said your cloud of glory is here and that we can experience your cloud of glory by pressing in to that special place, that spiritual realm of your presence. So, Lord, we come before thee in Yeshua's name to press into your presence. We come to honor you by taking the bread and the wine. So, Lord, we take the bread, which is pierced and bruised and broken, as a representative of you for us and our hope and calling. And we partake it in Yeshua's name. And, Lord, we take of the wine, representing your Holy Spirit and your blood, as a washing of the water of the word and the blood washes over us through your way and will. Lord God, we press into you, that we could press into the holy place, that your cloud would fill these our homes and these temples, that your literally your anointing would come upon us to break the yoke of bondage through the blood and through the Holy Spirit. And we partake of the wine in reference to that. Lord, we give you thanks. Glory, glory. Tomorrow, get out your calendars and let it be part of your study and part of your prayers. And it's talking about, once again, the authority you have over darkness. You know, God invites us into his secret place. Not our secret place, his secret place. It can be anywhere. It can be in your car. It can be in a park. It can be at work. It can be at home. Any place where you go into the Lord and press into him is the secret place. You know, God wants us to cry out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. And he wants us to remember his name in so many ways. What a blessing it is. What a promise it is. We have a hope and a future and a calling in him, and we are at the beginning of what he wants to do for our destiny. Many have said, and I've talked about, the age that we're in. And God is saying, we're at the end of one age, the age of the church, and the beginning of the age of the Messiah. He was born under the old covenant and resurrected in the new, just as we are. So, Lord, we just thank you. Let this be a word of testimony that we step into you and your glory this week. And just as it was a help to Esther and Mel, that the scriptures and the word in your prayer guide would be a blessing and a time of hope and need for each and every one of us, that you receive the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, everybody, for being here. There are more, actually, that come on after the call and play down the recording than often are on the call. And God is moving. So be encouraged. When I ask you to pray, you're affecting hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. And you're changing the kingdom to his glory. So be encouraged. Look up, the redemption draws nigh. And God is opening doors and pathways and the gates like not since Egypt. It's all about his kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. I look forward to talking to many of you during the week, and I thank you for being here. I thank you for being on the call. I want to encourage you, don't give up, don't quit. When things look the worst, press in the most. Let God. Let God. With that, I say goodnight. We're turning off our recording.